Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul, and it's a privilege and an honor to be here with you on this Tuesday, the 28th of January, the 28th of Tevet, coming to the end of the Hebrew month and the English month. And I want to start off the show by wishing all of us a good new month. And please God, the year continues to only bring blessings for it. I want to dedicate today's shiur, today's for bringing a show to the yard site of my father, which is this weekend, Rabbi Yonah ben Rabbi Meir. Alav Shalom. The neshama should have an aliyah. And what we do down here in this world has a real impact to those souls of the people we love and the people we care about. And that foundational idea that actions in this world have a translation in the world to come, and that the world and that those souls that are in that world can pray and beseech on our behalf in this world, that's communication across dimensions, the foundational principle of our faith, this idea that death isn't eternal. And although for those of us mere mortals in this world whose vision of the other world, it's opaque, we cannot see it, they on the other end are able to see and visualize us and pray on our behalf. So I pray that for all of us, that those we love who are no longer here, we keep on realizing that we're eternally connected and that the relationship is never over. It just becomes a different dimension. And it's worth talking about. I don't think it's a topic we've explored a lot on Farbring and the whole concept of death. And I'm not necessarily focusing on the idea today of dying and the pain, etc., which is definitely an idea that can be explored and unpacked over many, many, many hours. But what I want to start today's show is the idea that we don't see once a person passes on, which is basically the way of the world, right? As one person put it, every single person who was alive in 1899 has passed away by now. And everyone that was in the year 1900, or even as close to 1909, 1910, I think the oldest person in the world today is maybe 115, 116, but definitely nobody from the 19th century is alive today. And death is something that we often only explore and we only unpack or somewhat begin to unpack once we go through it in our own lives. But fundamentally, as it is in the world we live in, such a absolute fact of life, as the expression goes, the only two absolutes in life are death and taxes. It's worth exploring, even if we haven't necessarily in our own lives gone through death or it hasn't impacted us in a meaningful way, but to fundamentally explore the idea that what we believe about after death, and there's a lot that we don't know. So a lot of it is simply being honest and saying, I don't know, or this is what I believe, but I can't prove. But there are some stuff that, based on, you know, so much history and so much of our texts that explore this idea, there are stuff that we strongly believe in, like as Judaism, we would even say, like, more than belief, like it's a foundational knowledge. Right? One of the principles of our faith is that there will be resurrection of the dead, that there is reward and punishment, that there is heaven. These are foundational ideas. But today I don't want to focus on that as much as explore this idea that we could be connected to souls who are no longer in bodies. And the way that I imagine it is, when a person is alive, and you deeply, you love them, they're your child, spouse, parent, close friend, sibling. What you love about them is not their physical. Hope not, because then it's not really a healthy love. That's infatuation at best, right? If you love somebody deeply, it's not their finger that you love. They could, heaven forbid, lose a finger, or, you know, a person could even have limbs in their body that are changed. And as technology goes, more and more limbs in the body will become, you know, somewhat interchangeable. But that's not going to make you love them less. It's not now that they had a heart transplant, you love them less. It's not now that the person, you know, had a liver transplant, you love them less. It doesn't work that way, because foundationally, what you love about another person is something intangible. The way the love manifests is their physical essence, because that's all you can see and touch. So you manifest the love by shaking their hand, giving them a hug, giving them a kiss. But fundamentally, that's not what the relationship is made up of. The relationship is made up of this deep connection with something which cannot be seen and cannot be touched. And therefore, if while a person is alive, you were unable to touch that part of them that's transcendent and beautiful. So if it was never touchable and it never fit within time and space, even in our lifetime, how could something like that die? It was never alive the way we describe life, right? For most of us, what we describe life is a breathing physical being. But the soul and the connection that we feel with people was never tangible in the first place. It never manifested in a body. It only manifested in a spirit. And if it was always a spirit, then it was never alive to die. It was just beyond life, or rather true life. And therefore, even when they go, how could that die? What you loved about them was never physical. All it was the body is simply a garment for the soul. Right? We often talk about, is there life after death? But we rarely talk about the question, is there life before birth? Which is the same question, but it doesn't intrigue us as much, because somehow we're convinced, oh, okay, you know, mom became pregnant and she's, you know, somehow carried a baby. And from a little embryo, it became a full-on baby. And 9 months later, a baby came out. Somehow that makes sense, that suddenly this baby that 9 months ago was basically nothing is now a living, breathing, smiling, spirited little child. Somehow that doesn't beg us to question as much as when somebody we loved and developed a relationship over many years then passes away. And that's when often people ask the question, which is interesting, but it's fundamentally, it's the same question. Where do we go to and where we come from? And the answer is pretty much the same place. Obviously, the place we go to after having hopefully lived a good life is a much more deeper experience than the place we came from, which was unearned. But they're both a transcendent place. They're both heaven. They're both a place of souls. And for just a short amount of time, you know, please God, a good full life of 90, 100 years, we get, the soul gets to manifest itself in a body. But I am not my body. And neither are you. And neither is the person you loved who's no longer here. They're transcendent. They happen to have a body which allows them to manifest their soul's destiny, right? The soul has a purpose and sent into this world. And the Shama is sent to this world, the soul sent into this world with a goal, with a purpose to bring light and to navigate the gray. Unlike in heaven where it's all just beauty and godliness, and it's very black and white. Over here, they enter a world of gray, and they enter a world of temptation, and they enter a world of struggle. But the soul doesn't get tainted by that experience. The soul stays above, if we allow it to. And the goal of the human being is to figure out a way to create a healthy marriage between the soul and the body, because we have to use our own intuition and our wisdom to be able to create that. On the one hand, the soul that's on fire, and on the other hand, the body that has very physical needs and very physical temptations, some which are okay, some which are not okay. and to help navigate that relationship. It's the ultimate marriage. The ultimate marriage is, obviously, we, you know, hopefully for those of us who are married, that is, you're living your ultimate marriage. But on a deeper dimension, the ultimate marriage is the one that we battle within ourselves, and that is the marriage between the spirit and the physical, between the transcendent and a very much, you know, on the one hand, you have a soul that's clinging to godliness and literally is a part of godliness. On the other hand, you have a body that wants to eat lunch today or needs to go have a shower. And finding that balance is one of the great challenges of life. But at death, when someone passes on and the body is no longer there, and they go to a place where it's pure soul without the constraints and without the manifestation of a body, then they're truly set free and they're at peace. And in no way are they gone, because the spirit was never physical in the first place, so it cannot die. This is 101.9 High FM, and I want to play for you one of my favorite songs, especially, it's a personal, in other words, it's a song that deeply resonates. It's called Memories, and it's about those we love and those we lost on 101.9 High FM.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and you were just listening to Memories by Mordechem Ben David, a magnificent song. And today we're talking about memories and the Jewish way of seeing the connection of those of us alive with our loved ones who have passed. And what we explored before the song was this idea that we were never physical in the first place. We had a soul. I'm just borrowing the term. Basically, each and every one of us had a distinct soul before we were born. And then at birth, we were given a body. And the body and soul then have to learn this very delicate tango, this very delicate dance. That they will dance through what will hopefully be a long life. And that dance is about figuring out a way to live a spirited, transcendent life while within a physical body, which is the greatest tension in the human experience. There's nothing like it, right? Every human being is a mixture of godliness and physical, created in God's image, but with very, very physical temptations, needs, wants, desires, lusts. And how we balance it is the big question of every human being. In other words, each one of us as individuals challenges ourselves with that question. Every society in history has challenged itself with that question. Where does the soul start and where does the body end? Where is there a way of creating a hybrid between the two? It's the toughest question. It's not necessarily a question people think about, but when you think about it, you realize that even if you haven't asked a question every single day, you're giving an answer to that question. You might not know that you're giving an answer to the question, but you are, because based on how much of the day you're giving to the spirit and how much of the day you're giving to physical, based on whether the physical is done just out of necessity or rather out of indulgence, based on whether the spiritual is a big part of your reality, based on how vain or unvain a person is, they're giving an answer to that question. And again, the question is, how are you balancing the fact that you are a soul in a body? Is the wants, needs, desires, temptation, lusts of the body overwhelming the yearning and the purpose of the soul? Or has the soul created a much more dominant space? And the soul is, to borrow the words of the Tanya, he's the ruler, or she is the ruler of the human experience. Am I being ruled by my animal soul? Am I being ruled by my godly soul? Those are the big, big questions. And again, most people don't even know that there is a question. But every one of us is giving an answer to the question, because based on the lifestyle that we live in, our society lives, we are choosing to prioritize soul or body and figuring out that tango, that dance, and to create the ultimate way. And some of us, once we become aware of the question, that, and once we become aware that we have a soul, it might evoke a very different answer than simply people who are not even aware that they're a soul, right? If a soul is not something necessarily that most people experience, there are some people that are deeply spiritual by nature and they're just very aware of their soul. But many people are not so spiritual by nature. In other words, their soul is not that loud within their reality. They're very physical people living with very, very strong physical tendencies. And only when they're made aware that there's a part of you that is transcendent, and you know, and we could all prove it, because every one of us knows this part of us that are beautiful and sincere and redeemable and magnificent, and there's a part of us that's just pure and good. When you become aware of it, then you might actually answer a very different question, a very different answer to the question of where does my physical and spiritual balance work. But the point is that while we're in this physical world, we're given a soul. We're given a body. The soul's given a body. And we then try to figure out how to navigate the two very different interests of the soul and the body. The soul wants to cleave to God. The soul's like a flame, right? If you've ever seen a candle lit, we all have, you see that fire is that only physical thing that defies gravity. It's yearning to go up. It's yearning to leave the wick. It's actually almost fighting against its own interest. It's like trying to leave. It's being pulled down by the wick, by the oil, by the wax, but it's trying to disappear and go into, you know, its source, into the sun, to the source of fire. And human beings are the same way. We have a soul that is craving unity with the divine. It's craving to almost leave this body. It sees the body often as a hindrance, right? Think about it. No matter how old you are, you know, any of us listening, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. But let's say 100 years ago, every one of us had no body. We were just a soul. And then the soul was given a body. And the soul takes a lot of strain with that, because from being free to fly and experience, you know, transcendence and oneness with God, and not being limited within a physical body that fits within time and space and very physical, mundane needs. I mean, just try to imagine, you know, one of the things that the Bala Tanya, the great author of the Tanya, describes extensively, especially in his other books, the Kati Torah, etc., is to develop compassion for the soul, literally to develop compassion, mercy. Like, to think of this and say, this poor soul, just a few years ago, before I was born, was flying high, was hanging around the greatest of the great, those souls that literally are of the patriarchs and matriarchs, of the greatest sages and most incredible people ever. And then the soul's given a body and come into this world, and now it has to, you know, use the toilet, go take a shower, brush its teeth, eat food. At some stage, the soul, it's a frustrating experience. And Rabbi Schneerzama talks about like developing almost a compassion for the soul. And that compassion will evoke this like, okay, like, wow, it will remind us of who we are. That yes, we are given a physical body, and the point is not to neglect it. You know, Judaism is not Eastern in its perspective. When I mean Eastern, like some of the Eastern religions that will focus on almost negating the body. Judaism doesn't negate the body. It doesn't negate the body's temptations, right? Judaism very much tells us to eat, and we celebrate most Jewish holidays with a lot of food, and tells us to get married and procreate and have families. Judaism's not negating the physical and the flesh, unlike, you know, some of the religions and some of the philosophies out there. But on the other hand, it says don't get lost in the flesh, don't get lost in the physical, don't get lost in the temptation of the moment. Be within and stay above, right? Be within this world, but stay above it. Don't become it, right? Enjoy the meal, but don't literally become the meal. It's a famous Hasidic tale about one time, like when the great Hasidic masters shows his students a vision. He lets them see a deeper dimension. And what they see is this fellow that's eating this nice stew, this nice cholent. But he's so into the stew, he's enjoying it so much that when they look at his face, rather than seeing a human face, they see the face of an ox. The guy literally became what he was eating, right? You are what you eat. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating a nice stew, a nice cholent on a Shabbos morning. It's maybe even a mitzvah. It's a custom to do it. But, you know, still be within, stay above. Don't become so infatuated, so obsessed with the physical. And that's hard. It's very easy to understand the Eastern religions and the Eastern ideology that negates the needs of the body, because it makes, in a way, it makes so much sense. The body is getting in the way of the soul. Negate it. Don't indulge it. Just eat bread and water simply to stay alive. Don't date. Don't get married. Don't indulge in anything of the flesh, or at the bare minimum. And then you'll become a spiritual dimension. But that's not the way Judaism says. Judaism says, no, you got to learn how to do the dance. Got to learn how to live in the physical world and still be above it. Well, it's so hard. Exactly. Enjoy your Shabbos meal, but don't get too lost in the physical. Remember that fundamentally it's a Shabbos meal. You're doing it as a mitzvah, and you're doing it to sit around and elevate yourself and your family around it. Don't get totally lost. And that's very hard. Again, it's in a way, it's like, you know, we all know it. For those of us who sometimes have to go on diets to lose some weight, sometimes going cold turkey is easier than, okay, you don't have to go cold turkey, but you could eat 2 cookies, but not 10. I'd rather eat 0. Right? That extreme solution to the problem is often very tempting, but that's not the way Judaism sees the balance between soul and body. It says, no, you got to figure out your balance. You got to figure out a way to live a physical world. Right, and you have to live a very physical life, and you have to take care of your body, and on Shabbos you're supposed to eat good foods, and you're supposed to live in a, you know, try as much as possible to live in a nice, decent house, not in a shack, and to earn a living, and to go into the world, and still not be of the world, but be above it. And that challenge, it is one of the hard, it's the hardest question. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how am I doing on this journey? Because that's what life is. It's a journey. It's a journey of figuring out at each stage of life, because the journey never ends till the moment we die. But at each stage of our life, as children, as teens, as young adults, as spouses, as parents, as employers, as employees, in every circumstance of our life, the question, every day of our life, every stage of our life, the question is, again, how are we finding our balance? How are we doing on this journey? This is 101.9 Chai FM, and of course, the best way to bring a concept home is through music. This is, again, an incredible song called Journey at Sea, 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
Yes, this is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and here we are talking about the journey of soul and body, and the journey that starts at birth and ends at death. And I remember one time it was being highlighted to me that when a baby's born, most of the time the baby's, if it's a healthy baby, the baby's screaming, it's chaos. And death, unless it's a tragedy, it's an accident, or it's an act of violence, often death is actually quite peaceful, which is ironic. You'd think that because for the people around, birth is such excitement, everyone's thrilled, so you'd think the baby would be calm, and death is so sad, you'd think it'd be chaos, but it's not, because there's another thing going on at the same time, because we're all physical beings. For the soul that comes into this body, it's chaos, so the baby comes in screaming. But for the soul that's going home to where it came from, it's actually quite peaceful. We're the ones crying, standing around the body, around our loved one who's passing away. But for them, it's actually quite a peaceful journey. So the irony is that once a person has a perspective that the world doesn't start at birth and end at death, the world never starts, because the soul is eternal. It's beyond time and space. It's been here forever. And it will be here forever, because the moment it leaves this place, it goes to a place that there is no forever. The truth is, it's nothing. There's no, even forever doesn't actually describe it, because it's transcending a time and space. And so literally it goes beyond time, which our head as physical beings living within the time space continuum, we can't even imagine what that means. But that's what we believe. And once we're no longer, you know, confined by the mortal coil, by the physical being, by the body, we're then able to set free. Now, we're not rushing to get there. I remember the late Chief Rabbi Sacks always used to say, we believe in heaven and we're no rush to get there. The point of focusing on heaven is not in any way to rush to get there, because on the contrary, we realize that as long as God wants us here, kol zman sheneshama bekirbi, as long as the soul is within me, as long as my body has a soul, maydani lefanecha, I'm grateful to Hashem, because I realize it's another opportunity to make impact, right? Yafa shachas b'tshuva meisim tovim mikol chayei olam haba. The ethics of our father says that 1 hour in this world of doing the acts of goodness and kindness and mitzvot, of connecting to our God, is more valuable than the entire world to come. Why? Because over here we can change. Over here we can find that we could dance the dance. We can figure out a way to overcome the temptations of the body, and rather than negate it, challenge the body and utilize the body for a bigger purpose. We can do amazing things. Once a person passes away, their journey's up, the game is over. Now all they could do is just, you know, have nachas on the game they played and pray that the people that they left in this world, the people that cherish their memory, are continuing that game, are continuing that to play what they need to play. But their game is over. Our game is still standing. Every morning we wake up, whether we're young and vibrant and strong, or we're maybe feeling elderly in years and the body is no longer what it used to be, it makes no difference, because fundamentally, we woke up today because God sees a purpose for us today. And the purpose is to find a way to integrate our soul and body, to find a way that to get the two to work together and thus bring light into this world. And each one of us in our own specific journey, and our journeys are so different. In many ways, they're very similar, right? We're all physical beings. We all have to eat. We all have to sleep. There's a lot of things that we do that are in common. But then there's our life circumstances, our personalities, the events that take place in our life that are very, very different from one another. And in each one of us, God is having a unique relationship with each and every one of us. And each one of us is being placed in situations that are specific for the journey that we have to take in this world, that our soul and our body have to take, so that we can fulfill our purpose in this world. Because that's what we're here. We're here on a journey of purpose. We're here to do. We're not here to have pleasure. I often think to myself, if the goal of life is pleasure, then there's no point of being alive, because there's much more pleasure in the world to come. That same Mishnah, that same, you know, tract that says in Ethics of Our Fathers that 1 hour of repentance and good deeds in this world is worth more than the whole world to come, also says that 1 hour in the world to come is greater than all the pleasures of the physical world. In other words, if you're here for pleasure, heaven is a much better place. You came from a place of much deeper pleasure. It's not physical pleasure. It's not fleshy pleasure. It's not the kind of pleasure that I share with an animal. It's a real spiritual, deep, deep pleasure. But we didn't come into this world for pleasure, at least not for our own, maybe for God's, but not for our own. Yes, pleasure is a gift of life, and it makes life a little more pleasant, but that's not what we're here for. If we're pleasure-seeking beings, we're going to be miserable, and we're going to defeat our purpose. Pleasure assists in the journey. It's not the goal of the journey. The goal of the journey is purpose. The goal of the journey is elevation. The goal of the journey is that each year we become a better, more refined, more wholesome, more beautiful version of ourselves, that our character grows, that we literally grow. It's the famous Talmud that says that every blade of grass has an angel that screams at it or hits it and says, Gedal, grow. Grow, get bigger. And that's every blade of grass. And how much more so, each and every one of us has multiple angels or multiple voices within us or around us that is calling us to shine up to the moment, right? The hero journey, to go and become the hero of our own story. And a hero doesn't necessarily mean that you're big and brave and movies will be made about you. It literally means be the best version of yourself in every dimension. In our private life, in our moral character, in our self-restraint, in our discipline, in our relationships, in our ability to forgive, in our ability to not be too vain, in our ability to be kind and good and all the good stuff that we all know is valuable. That's the hero's journey. Forgive that person that you promised you would never forgive, that family member that you promised you would never talk to again. To be more charitable, even though you're so paranoid and you're convinced that you have to leave all the money to your kids. But no, you choose to actually give away some of it for a bigger cause and actually lighten the load of somebody, even though it's not out of your comfort zone. The hero's journey is to overcome. Each one of us has our own things we need to overcome. Some of us are too egocentric. Some of us are too humble. Some of us are too stingy. Some of us are too generous. Each one of us in our own journey. To have that humility, to be able to look in the mirror and sit there saying, what does God want of me? What's my journey about? We're only given a short lifespan, please God, as long as possible, but in the bigger picture, it's still short. And the question that, literally, the only question that matters in this life is, are we doing the best we can every moment of every day based on where we're at? The best is not always the same. Sometimes the best is a very different best than other circumstances. You're tired, you're hungry, etc. You won't exactly give your best as when you're on the top element and you're the best stage of your life. But each moment, whatever I can give at that moment, Hashem asks us, show up. That's what it is. 2025, the year of showing up. Show up and be our best version of ourselves. So I want to bless each and every one of us that in this coming month, on Shabbos, we blessed the new month, and we're entering a new month, the month of Shvat, a magnificent month, the month of February. I pray that each and every one of us should show up and take the words of the song. I want to finish off the song with Just Like You. It's a magnificent song of a journey of this fellow who shows up to his rabbi and sees that his rabbi is living absolutely impoverished. It's the sage is living an impoverished life. And he looks at the sage and he says, I understand how you could live like this. And the sage says, look at you. All you're traveling with is a suitcase. You're staying in hotels. You don't really have much with you. He says, yes, rabbi, I'm on a journey. I'm just passing through. I don't live here. And the rabbi says, I'm exactly like you. I also don't live here. I come from a place called heaven. And I'm only on a journey here. And I'm not going to get bogged down by the physical. There's nothing wrong with the physical, but I'm not going to get bogged down by it. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Yaftz, and today we explored the concept of souls and body. Are we more soul or body? Please God, next week on 101.9 Chai FM, the Farbring, and every Sunday from 1 to 2. Have a great day. Have a great week. God bless.